Welcome back into the program. It's Auburn's first, Auburn's favorite sports talk show. This is Sports Call. JJ, Tom, Ryan, and Brooks all inside the studios. Hope everybody is doing well on this Wednesday. We know we're doing well because we're going to get to go to our phone lines and bring on one of our very good friends. It is none other than John Clayton of the Washington Post, one of the foremost experts when it comes to the National Football League. John, we really do appreciate the time. How are things for you in this month of July?
Doing well, trying to see how football is going to shape up and trying to get through this crazy period with the virus and everything else that's going on in this country.
John, we've been able to catch up with you about once a month over the past 5 or 6 months or so, which has been always awesome when we get to chat with you. And we've had a lot of conversations about our guy from right here in Auburn, Cam Newton, where his next landing spot would be. Well, we found out it's going to be the New England Patriots. What did you think of all that?
I put the credit on him because he's the one taking the chance, not the Patriots. I mean, he took the position. It's like, okay, I can't go get a physical, so what I'll do, I'll see if I either want to wait to see if I can get a starting job with guys get hurt. But he took the position. It's like, no, I have a chance to now compete for a starting job, and I won't worry about the money. I'll worry about the money in the future. And so now I'll agree to do this. And, of course, today he was able to, or this week, he was able to get the physical, and it's now officially in the books at 1 year, $1.75 million. But he was willing to gamble himself with basically a minimum salary contract that will allow him to go ahead and compete against Jarrett Stidham for the starting job. And if he does well, which I think he will do well, then he'll start. He'll see if he can be the quarterback of the future, but he can be the quarterback of the present, and then put himself back in. So it was a gamble on his part to take such a low amount of money. He's made a lot of money during his career, so I put the credit on him. Because if he would have stayed asking for like $4 or $5 million, anything more than that, I don't think the Patriots would do it. But if you're going to be Bill Belichick, how can you turn down somebody who's willing to play for that little money and offer that much talent and also give you a chance to maybe get back over the Bills in the AFC East?
And we're seeing it as of about 45 seconds ago. I mean, the timing's unreal, John, that the Patriots officially did tweet out the welcome with their little press release to Cam Newton. They're saying, "Let's go, Pats," in the text font that he always uses on Instagram. So super exciting stuff there for New England. But what are the odds for Auburn people, John, that now two quarterbacks in the NFL, both of them will be sharing the same quarterback room in Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham? What do you think this means for Stidham?
Well, I mean, understand the two things with Bill Belichick. And when he was looking to draft Stidham, he likes him, and that hasn't changed. I mean, he thought that he could be, the quarterback taking over for Tom Brady. But also, in the back of his mind, if Brady was going to leave, he wants a mobile quarterback. And, he's always respected Cam Newton. Cam Newton's played the Patriots and Bill Belichick twice and has won each game. And when you have a player that's talked up like Bill Belichick has talked up Cam Newton, then there's always the possibility for the right move or the right amount of money or the right situation to be able to go ahead and sign him. And so in a lot of ways, this is Bill being Bill, because he also realizes there's going to be so much problems in the National Football League putting offenses and defenses together because there's been no offseason program and there's still the possibility of no preseason games. And so when you put that together, it's like, okay, I've got myself covered in a lot of ways. Stidham's been here. He knows the offense. That's good. Cam can come in, and if we just want to go to a running type of offense, which is, I think, the plan, is that, okay, we got one of the best runners we could get in Cam Newton. We'll go into two backs and two tight ends and all that, and then just try to pound the ball like they did before Brady got there, and they've done several times during Brady's career. So to me, it was a no-brainer for the Patriots, but it's open competition. But if Cam Newton is healthy, which right now you can't say he isn't, then I would still think that he can win the job, and then you make a decision, after the season. Do you want to sign Cam, or do you want to just go with Stidham? But again, because it's still going to be tough for Stidham to be able to go out there with no off-season program. I still go back to Colt McCoy back in 2011 when they had the lockout and there was no off-season program. Colt was with the Cleveland Browns 1 year starting, and he says, I'll tell you what, he says, not having the off-season program put me so far behind, it took me years to catch up. And that could be the same case with Stidham, not having a chance to be on the field with the team. But I think what it does, it's just a good football decision and gives options right now for Bill Belichick and the Patriots that are very positive.
John, obviously a hot-button topic in the league over the last few days, and it's been off and on for a few years, but it's really come to a head this summer, is with the Washington Redskins and their name. And obviously Dan Snyder in the past being very very pushing back on the idea of having to change it, but some sponsors have started to threaten the organization, and some of the minority owners as well, threatening to or voicing their displeasure with it. So it seems to me, and I guess does it seem to you as well, John, that this is kind of now a matter of when, not if, and then if so, when or what team names are the Redskins realistically looking at?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable now. They change it, and they need to change it as quickly as they possibly can because, I mean, you can see the damage being done, and you can see that Dan is basically blocked in to this point that he has to change the name. You know, first, he's got three minority owners that want out, and they want the name changed. You've got the city, D.C., they're talking about getting a new stadium, and with that in mind, they're not going to do it with a Redskin name on there. You've got Pepsi, you've got Nike, you know, they've pulled out or trying to pull out. You've got the FedEx with Fred Smith. You know, he wants out, and he's worried about the sponsorship. And then finally, what you can see is that the one by one, stores are taking Redskin gears out. You know, Target's doing it. You can see that it's not going to be any more Redskin stuff that's going to be on any of the big sites and all that stuff. So really, he has no choice to change it. I mean, the name I kind of like is Warriors, and that doesn't mean, you know, Warriors can go back into the old days and all that stuff. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, any Indian-related thing because he needs to get away from that. I know that the Red Tails, which, of course, is from Tuskegee Institute, you know, that seems to be, you know, a popular one that could sell. But, again, not being able to read Dan Snyder's mind, I don't know exactly which way he's going.
We're talking with John Clayton here on today's Sports Call. John, another big story that came up in the last few days was the contract of Patrick Mahomes. Does he deserve that much money, first of all? And is this kind of going to set a precedent for more people trying to get even crazier amounts of money than that?
No. What this is, and if you really study the contract closely, I mean, you can see it's, you know, very much like a Tom Brady type of deal. It is a team-friendly deal. And the reason I say team-friendly is that, sure, it looks like, you know, when you're talking, in the NFL, you talk new money, right?
Right.
And the new money is 10 years, $450 million, but it comes at a time that the cap should be making a big advance. But here's what they did for what, he did for the team. You know, Mahomes takes a deal that basically pays him $27.2 million over the first 2 years. That's exactly what he was scheduled to be made. They've redone it a little bit, giving him a $10 million signing bonus, but it's the same money and roughly the same cap. So that gives the team the ability to go ahead and see if they can keep as many players as they possibly can. That was the positive thing. Then in the first 3 years of the contract, you know, it was 39.3 as far as the average, which, of course, you know, everybody's talking about Mahomes being, you know, $40 million. It's a little less than the $40 million. And so if you look at it from the new money, and, of course, it gives a fixed cost now that the team knows for the next 12 years what he's going to make, you know, the ability to kind of make preparations for the cap if they're going to be an annual Super Bowl contender. So if you take the whole deal, it really works out to be 39.8. If you go 12 years, 47.7.2, which is the deal. So in a lot of ways, yeah, it's a $45 million deal of new money, but in reality, it's 39.8. It's still respectable, but it's also one. Think about this. If you're going to be Deshaun Watson, if you're going to be Dak Prescott, let's say you can get 2 years, 4 year deals done this year. I mean, you can now come back in 5 years and top the $45 million easily because the cap's going to be significantly that much higher.
John, you mentioned it briefly just then, but speaking of contract negotiations, where are we with the contract negotiation that just won't go away with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys?
We're still in the same vein. Nothing has changed since March. They made a little bit of progress in March, but I anticipate a deal getting done. And again, part of that is because of the virus, because, you know, now with the virus potentially knocking out fans from the stands, you know, what I think you'll anticipate now is that they've got to figure out where the cap's going to be, because it's not going to go up. And so without the $10 million increase and the possibility of a decrease, how are you going to be able to keep your own players if you now have to sign, put the second franchise tag on? Because that would be 37.7 next year, and, you know, more than likely the exclusive tag right now is 39.8, or 29.8, and so 39.8. So if that's going to be the case, you better get some kind of a deal done. They have seven players right now, all starters and all core players, making a total of $106 million under the cap. Okay, that's in 2020, including two $22 million cap numbers in Amari Cooper and also DeMarcus Lawrence. You have three offensive linemen making cap numbers of over 10. You've got a $13 million running back in Ezekiel Elliott. If you have to put the 37.7 or 39, now you're talking $143 to $145 million on deals that are for eight players, and you need more than eight players. If the cap, you only have $50 million of room then if they keep the cap as it is to be able to get the rest of your team under contract. It just doesn't work. They have to get a deal done.
And then, John, let's go back to something that was briefly mentioned a little bit earlier. How big of an issue is it going to be going into this season with no potentially no preseason games, even though, you know, you usually when you're in the preseason, you only see the starters one or two series each game, except for probably that fourth game, then you don't see them at all. So how big of an issue is it going to be for these teams going in with no preseason games and just having some sort of a camp?
Well, it's going to be an issue because, again, you know, you don't know how these players are going to do, because you know, you haven't seen them so far this offseason, and all you're going to be able to do is see them go against your own teammates, so you don't have that competitive edge you're going to be able to look at, so it's going to be a little bit harder to make value judgments on that. It's certainly going to affect the teams with new coaches, new quarterbacks, you know, because they're not going to have the opportunity to be on the field before the start of the regular season. But on the flip side, where the players are saying they don't want any preseason games, they make some wise points. Because, you know, in 2011, when they had the four preseason games, in the first 12 days, 10 players ended up getting Achilles tendon injuries, tears, and were done for the year. And according to the Players Association, there was a 100% increase in Achilles tears. There was over 50 ACL tears, most of them early in camp, and, of course, even in the games. And then a 44% increase in hamstring injuries. So now the NFL has a choice. I mean, on a two games that are meaningless and probably aren't going to have any fans in the stands where you're going to get much revenue, just for a test of both the players for the coaches and also for trying to see if you can do home and away games, as that, is it really worth it to risk injury when the revenue's not going to necessarily be there? You know, sure, because, you know, again, there's at the most, we saw Baltimore today come out, and if there's going to be fans in the stands, the maximum crowd is going to be 14,000, and the likelihood is there'll be no fans in the stands in Baltimore. There's not going to be any in Buffalo. So I would have to think the odds are favoring no preseason games, and that's going to make it tough.
Well, John, my last question for you, we've talked a little bit about a lot of things, but ultimately your gut feeling, do we have football this fall with this virus? Because the numbers still keep going up, and we're seeing, you know, the Ivy League has now canceled their fall. Still a lot of questions with college football. Your gut feeling, do we have football this fall?
I think we have NFL football this fall. I'm worried about college football, and I think you saw with the Ivy League making their announcement today.
Right.
That may be followed by all the other five major conferences and everybody else. At the very least, I think there would have to be a delay because it's going to be hard to get fans in the stands the way things are going, particularly the way that things are going right now. But for the NFL standpoint, you know, they can still do okay, you know, without having fans in the stands. You know, they got $7.7 billion in TV revenue. You know, if there's no college football, they can maybe flex some games and get a little bit more money from the networks and try to make up some of the $3 to $3.5 billion of losses that they're going to incur this year. So, and the plan right now, although they're still working out some more details, is that camps will start on time. I still question the preseason games, and right now the regular season looks like it'll start on time, but now it's going to be the virus that's going to determine COVID-19, you know, how that's going to affect everything during the season.
Be sure to follow him on Twitter, at John Clayton NFL. He's one of the best in the business, and you can listen to him each and every day on 710 ESPN right there in Seattle. This month, we'll see Major League Baseball come back, and we saw, as of about a week ago, the 710 ESPN Seattle staff put together their own baseball team. John, they got you out in right field and batting eighth in the order. What is your baseball game like these days?
That spot on the bench that would be there, which of course right now would actually be in the stands because you're not going to be on the bench in baseball this year. Not too good. Not a good hitter. Not a strong arm. So I think if anything's hit the right field, they're going to be able to advance the bases.
John, we really do appreciate the time. Let's do it again sometime soon, okay?
Okay, sounds good.